Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to athletic performance, body composition, anti-aging, fitness, and nutrition. On side one, Corey will provide a clinical review of articles published in various health and fitness journals, as well as his own personal commentary. He will then be joined by Tracy Hawley to discuss health and fitness issues which pertain to female athletes, mothers, and children. Side 2 includes an interview with our special guest who will share their expertise and experience as a clinician, author, healthcare provider, athlete, or professional in the healthcare and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello everyone and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, June 2002. In this edition, I'd like to discuss the importance of water and its significance to athletic performance. Clean, pure water is absolutely essential to the health of every cell in your body. When adequately hydrated with water, the body is able to effectively breathe, digest, eliminate, and perspire. Even our glandular activities rely on the presence of water. Less than 2% of Canadians drink sufficient amounts of the wet stuff, resulting in a steady state of dehydration. Slowly, ever so slowly, our thirst mechanism begins to fail. Over time, as we age, we dry up. Why? Because we don't drink enough pure, clean water, and we eat too much dry food, like bread and overcooked animal proteins. In addition, we smoke, drink alcohol, drink coffee, and take an unprecedented amount of often unnecessary medication. Eventually, the water content inside the cells, the intracellular fluid of the body, gradually diminishes. The cell volume water ratio drops an average from 1.1 to 0.8 from age 15 to age 85. This is a very serious reduction and a drastic negative contrast. Think of your brain and heart cells slowly drying out over time, like a grape shrinking into a raisin. This is why people shrink over time and lose height. The spine and core material of the vertebrae slowly dry out, reducing the space between individual discs and reducing the dimensions of the discs themselves. A tremendous amount of joint, disc, and lower back pain are caused by simple dehydration because water acts as a lubricating agent and bears the force of our weight in all weight-bearing joints. Drought management is how we survive. Our bodies are forced to adapt to a water-depleted state, which the body recognizes as a form of stress. In managing our biological terrain under these stressful conditions, a great variety of signs and signals are made evident. Unfortunately, most people become accustomed to dehydration and misinterpret their health problems as a need for medication instead of a biological need for water. Now here's something most people do not know. If you base consumption of water purely on thirst or dry mouth alone, you'll never achieve a state of optimum hydration because except under resting conditions, thirst is not recognized as a sufficient stimulus for fluid replacement. The sensation of thirst is a survival mechanism, and by the time your body fluids are low enough to stimulate cells in the hypothalamus to give you the sensation of thirst, gulping water down to the point of satiation only covers just over half of what is actually required. Don't base your water consumption on how you feel. That's too subjective. Instead, base it on what science teaches. As a standard, I recommend drinking 30 milliliters or 1 fluid ounce of water per kilogram of lean body mass per day. Not total body weight, but lean mass, which means you need to have a body composition assessment. In addition, athletes require an extra 1 or 2 liters of water to compensate for elevated body temperature and lost fluids caused by sweating in response to strenuous exercise, heat, sport, and daily workouts. This approach will keep your body well hydrated, reduce fatigue, and prevent a tremendous number of sport injuries. Water affects every aspect of our lives, and like it or not, your functional potential will be determined by the quality and quantity of pure water you consume. Let me give you a couple of practical examples. My daughter Ruby is 10 and weighs 85 pounds, which is about 39K. Her body fat percentage is 16%, so we know her lean mass is 84% of her total weight, or about 32K. She needs to drink about 1 liter of filtered water per day, because 32 kilograms times 30 milliliters is equal to about 960 milliliters, or about 1 liter. During her gymnastics class or track and field practice, she needs to drink an additional 500 milliliters to compensate for lost fluids, preferably mixed with an electrolyte antioxidant supplement providing a 6% carbohydrate yield. If the carbohydrate percentage in a sports drink exceeds 6 to 8%, gastric emptying of the fluid is significantly delayed, thus reducing the hydration advantage while engaged in sport. Ruby drinks water upon rising and carries 2 500-milliliter water bottles to school with her in her backpack. Here's another example. My son Michael is 17 and weighs 185 pounds, or about 84K. His body fat is 8%, thus his lean mass is about 77K. He needs to drink nearly 2.5 liters of filtered water per day, plus an additional 1 to 2 liters, again, preferably mixed with an electrolyte, carb, antioxidant supplement to compensate for fluid and electrolyte loss during football practice. Another way to estimate your minimum requirement of water is to calculate your calorie intake and convert this figure into milliliters. The body needs about 1 milliliter of water for each calorie burned. So if your ideal calorie intake is 2,500 calories, converting this figure equates to 2,500 milliliters, or about 2.5 liters. This method isn't as accurate as the one based on lean mass, but it still provides a very useful guideline. Most tap water is unsuitable for drinking, so always try to carry filtered, bottled water with you. In practical terms, this means in your purse, in your briefcase, in your car, and in your workout bag. If you don't consciously prehydrate and bring your own source of water to the gym to maintain hydration, shame on you. You're setting yourself up for injury and premature fatigue. Although this is one of the most basic and fundamental rules of the fitness game, you'd be surprised to know how few athletes actually follow the science and even remember to drink water. Keep in mind that it's very difficult to achieve a state of optimum hydration if you carry too much body fat. A fat cell can only hold up to 15% water, whereas a healthy muscle cell can hold up to 72% water. The more adipose fat you carry, the less space you have for storing intracellular water, and fat is non-force productive, so it can't contribute to speed, vertical jump height, or strength and power production in athletics. In simple terms, fat doesn't contract. Therefore, lost functional muscle over time, a medical condition referred to as sarcopenia, caused primarily by inactivity and an insufficient intake of high-quality protein, contributes towards an overall state of dehydration. You can drink all the best electrolyte-rich water in the world, but you have to have somewhere to put it, or it will go right through you. Now, this isn't all bad because water does wash away many of our health problems. But holding water inside healthy, strong muscle cells is still the best way to go. Now, after testing thousands of men and women for body composition, I have discovered only 1 in 1,000 that is well hydrated. I'll get a heavyset man or woman to stand on the bioelectrical impedance scale, and typically they carry 28 to 38% body fat, with a hydration percentage of, say, 52 to 55%, which means that 52 to 55% of their entire body is water. The ideal for men is greater than 65% water, and for women, it's greater than 60%. But very few men and women actually maintain a state of optimum hydration. But Corey, they say, I can't figure this out. I drink at least 3 liters of water every day. Agreed, I respond. But your percentage of body fat in relation to lean mass makes it impossible to utilize that much water. You're thinking in terms of weight, But you have to change that thought pattern and think in terms of mass and composition of weight. Focus on a muscle-building health, fitness, and restoration program so you can regain the muscle and lean mass you've lost by being inactive or not maintaining an anabolic flux through resistance training for the last 20 years. Then you can really fill up on water. But you're also going to have to make some serious dietary changes, such as eating less dry, starchy carbs, consuming more protein, improving the quality of your diet, eating more meals per day, and so on. Or you'll never force your body to use the body fat you have stored within you as fuel. That's it. Body fat is just fuel. It's stored energy. Now think of fat as ice. What melts ice? Heat. What increases heat production in the body? Movement. Exercise. Eating small portions of low-fat protein throughout the day. Thermogenic foods added to your diet like mustard or cayenne pepper can stimulate your metabolism. And there are many dietary supplements like ephedrine or synephrine that can elevate your metabolic rate. Give it time, do it right, and the results you desire will manifest as sure as the law of gravity. Now, what about water distillation? To distill means to chemically purify or extract the essence of something. Water distillation vaporizes water with heat. As the steam rises, it leaves behind any of the pathogens, metals, and contaminants present that are heavier than water as a vapor, which is lighter than air. As the steam condenses, it travels into a separate cooling chamber where it collects as distilled water. Any organic compounds not heavier than water may remain. So steam distillation does not necessitate an absolute method of purification, although some waters are triply distilled, bringing the parts per million down to between 10 and 20. But let's face it, distilled water is pretty clean. Dr. Pavel Arola, PhD, ND, claimed that distilled water was nonsensical and unscientific. According to experts, natural water has been condemned because, in contrast to distilled water, it contains large amounts of inorganic minerals which the body cannot use, causing stiff joints, arteriosclerosis, gallstones, kidney and bladder stones, and many other diseases. Dr. Rolla simply asks us to look at the real facts, the ones that have been present since the beginning of time. One example is that man and animals have been consuming natural waters from the land for thousands of years and enjoying perfect health. These diseases are relatively recent diseases, diseases of civilization. Arola states, distilled water, void of all minerals, is not a natural water. It is a synthetic, artificial, man-made, fragmented product that does not occur naturally. Prolonged drinking of soft or distilled water will result in mineral deficiencies and lead to deficiency-caused diseases. And I'm sure that most of you have heard this side of the argument. Of course, Dr. Michael Colgan's take on distilled water is virtually the opposite of Arola's. Colgan claims that distilled water cannot suck minerals out of anyone's system and that no one should rely on water exclusively for a mineral source anyway. I tend to agree with Michael, but I do believe having access to untainted and unspoiled natural water is a good thing. The best natural water I've ever tried was deep in the northeast rainforest of Cairns, Australia, and in the Kalalau Valley of Kauai in Hawaii. Today, however, pure, clean, natural spring or unpolluted rainwater is hard to come by. I'm definitely not against distilled water, but I do have a new living water system delivered to my home and workplace. The company that makes this product oxygenates the water through ozonation to a level 5 times greater than standard potable water, and then electromagnetizes the water after filtering it by reverse osmosis. I also have a water distiller, and I've used that for many years too. I'd rather drink pure H2O than contaminate my body with industrial waste, chlorine, and heavy metals. Water consumption is absolutely vital to optimal health, to optimum health, growth, muscle integrity, and solid performance as an athlete. Water is considered the universal solvent and is quintessential to our body's plumbing system. I can't stress enough that the water supply you're consuming should be filtered, as tap water is polluted with contaminants, including a wide range of industrial chemicals, fumigants, pesticides, radioactive waste, bacteria, chlorine, which reacts with organic waste to form trihalomethanes, which are carcinogenic, and heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and cadmium. Tap water can also represent a source of too much inorganic copper. Use spring distilled or reverse osmosis, but make sure you drink water that is contaminant-free. Remember, carry water everywhere you go in your purse, briefcase, gym bag, and car. Sip on water constantly and always have it at your disposal. Establish a water station at home and at work, and if you want your kids to drink more water, buy a water station for each of their bedrooms. When it's in their face, their water consumption will quadruple, I guarantee it. And many childhood illnesses are associated with dehydration. And many and or most diseases that you and I may experience in our life have a connection to dehydration, if not the cause. In essence, water should be the first and last thing that enters your body every day. Well, that's it for this segment of Sports Nutrition Update. Thanks for listening. And remember, courage is the mental and moral strength that enables one to venture, persevere, or withstand danger, fear, and difficulty firmly and resolutely.